Houston, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. In U.S. politics, Democratic Party presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has addressed the FBI's announcement that it is investigating emails which have come to their knowledge through an investigation that is different from a previous look into a private email server Clinton used while she was Secretary of State.
You know, I think people a long time ago made up their minds about the emails. I think that's factored into what people think, and now they're choosing a president.
Clinton appeared before news media just hours after the announcement by FBI Director James Comey, who said emails had turned up during a different investigation that could affect Clinton. Clinton said she's confident that this additional scrutiny will not change the conclusion the FBI drew on her case in July. At that time, Comey said Clinton had been extremely careless in keeping government emails on a private server, but said there was no evidence that she had shared classified information with unauthorized parties on purpose and tried to cover that up. Republican Party presidential nominee Donald Trump spoke about the latest FBI probe.
Hillary Clinton's corruption is on a scale we have never seen before. We must not let her take her criminal scheme into the Oval Office.
After the news of the investigation broke, further reports link the new evidence with the federal investigation of former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, who is married to top Clinton aide Huma Abedin. As for the use of the private email servers, Clinton said she used it rather than a more secure government server because it was convenient. This is VOA News. Russia has failed to win re-election to the United Nations Human Rights Council, an action seen as a rebuke for the country's military support of the Syrian government. Russia's UN ambassador, Vitaly Churkin, played down Moscow's loss. There is a growing sense that by the time Iraqi forces finish regaining control of the key city of Mosul from the Islamic State fighters, few, if any, of the terror group's top leaders will be there. The consensus by a variety of current and former intelligence officials comes despite persistent claims in recent weeks from Iraqi officials that IS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is holed up in a bunker or tunnel somewhere in Mosul. In contrast, U.S. military and intelligence officials have been cautious about discussing the IS leader and his whereabouts. Meantime, the UN Human Rights Office reports that Iraqi civilians are increasingly being used as pawns by the IS militants in their battle for Mosul. Lisa Schlein reporting now from the UN in Geneva.
Human rights spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani says IS, also known as ISIL, has abducted nearly 8,000 families or more than 47,000 people and forced them at gunpoint into strategic IS locations.
ISIL's depraved, cowardly strategy is to attempt to use the presence of civilian hostages to render certain points, areas, or military forces immune from military operations, effectively using tens of thousands of women, men, and children as human shields.
Shamdasani says the cruel behavior is provoking revenge killings of people suspected of being members of IS. She says the High Commissioner for Human Rights is urging people to refrain from vigilante justice and to treat captured IS fighters in accordance with international human rights law. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Presidential candidate for Ghana's opposition Progressive People's Party says a court decision, which orders the Electoral Commission to put him on the ballot to contest the December 7th presidential election, should strengthen the electoral body's ability to equally apply the country's electoral laws ahead of the polls. Dr. Papa Kwesi Nduom was one of more than 10 presidential candidates disqualified by the Electoral Commission for failing to meet the stipulations of the documents they filed to contest the December polling. Britain's decision to leave the European Union has survived a legal challenge when North Ireland's High Court dismissed arguments that could have prevented Prime Minister Theresa May from beginning the process of exiting the EU. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Davis here. Welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. And on this edition of the show, we're going to salute a gentleman who has been influenced by the great Miles Davis, as many others have been. He never met Miles, but it's just like he was in his band. It's the great pianist Robert Glasper. Robert Glasper, the great young keyboard player from Houston, Texas, has gone about the business of blending various styles of music with jazz to create an enticing blend that's won him multi-Grammy awards and brought many, many new fans to jazz. He's in the spotlight on this edition of Jazz America for the four releases that he has given us in the last 2 years alone. So no one has been busier in the world of modern jazz than has been Robert Glasper. And two of those projects have included the influence of and the music of Miles Davis. We'll be featuring that work and talking to Robert Glasper on this edition of Jazz America. And as I mentioned, he was born in Houston, Texas. We'll begin this edition of Jazz America with a salute to another Texas-born musician who celebrates his 65th birthday on the 30th of October. He is the great master of the congas and Latin jazz from Laredo, Texas, Poncho Sanchez. He's joined by the late great special guest Tito Puente on timbales for a cut from the 1990 release Chile Con Sol. It's Poncho Sanchez with the Cal Jader classic Soul Burst to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no car, got no mule, got no misery. Folks with plenty of plenty got a lock on the door, 'cause they're afraid somebody's gonna rob them while they're out making more. What for? I got no lock on the door, that's no way to be. They can steal the rug from the floor, that's okay with me, 'cause the things that I prize, like the stars in the skies, are all free. 'Cause I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. Got my man, got my song, got my Lord. Steal the rug from the floor, that's okay with me, 'cause the things that I prize, like the stars and the skies, are all free. I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. Got my man, got my song, got my Lord.
Since Miles Davis passed away in 1991, many people have done a salute to Miles in various ways. Everything from singing and playing songs that reminded them of Miles to doing his music in their own way. Well, Shirley Horn was one of those, with a cut from her album I Remember Miles. That's I've Got Plenty of Nothing. Hope you enjoyed that here on VOA's Jazz America. And now it's time to turn to conversation with Robert Glasper. And as I mentioned earlier, Robert Glasper was just a very young lad when Miles passed away in 1991, but he was greatly influenced by him, and according to Mr. Glasper himself, many others have been influenced by Miles to the point where he is one of the major influences in modern jazz and has helped to move the music forward. Well, certainly he's been moving the music forward in the last couple of years, has Robert Glasper, with his 2015 albums, Covered, and the soundtrack of the motion picture, Miles Ahead. We'll hear more about that later on. He's also created his new work with his own group, the Robert Glasper Experiment, Art Science, just released, and earlier in the springtime of 2016, he released Everything's Beautiful, a most interesting project, because He was asked by the record label that holds all of Miles Davis's work to do remixes of Miles' songs. Instead, he asked if he could take those Miles songs and layer his own playing on top of them and, in essence, play with Miles Davis live. Well, we'll hear a cut from Everything's Beautiful after we hear about the influence of Miles Davis on modern jazz from Robert Glasper right now on VOA's Jazz America.
There's not many musicians like him at all that really like glided through so many decades of different kinds of music and led in that decade every time. You know, he was a leading voice in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, still around in the early 90s, and changing so much, you know, changing so much with the times. He's a cat that put on so many young musicians. He was always around young, vibrant musicians because, you know, those cats were the fresh sound, and he never wanted to sound stale, and he always wanted to keep the music moving. You know what I mean? He's one of the only cats that really kept jazz alive. You know, he has so much respect, so people respected him, so he could do something different, and people would be like, okay, well, it's Miles, and kind of set the trend, and people start doing it. You know, so without him, jazz would be probably older than it really is. I mean, sounding, you know, people, you know, tend to want to put it in a museum kind of early and kill it. You know, Miles is just all about change. And, you know, he said, if it's not moving, it's dead. He wants to play music for the people and for more than just the jazz audience. You know what I mean? And so because of him, you have artists like me. That's the thread I'm cut from. He started all this stuff.
from the 2016 album Everything's Beautiful. That's a song inspired by Miles Davis called Ride On, Brother, featuring Stevie Wonder on harmonica. Now here's the man himself, Miles, with Freddie Freeloader from Kinda Blue on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you.
From the album that had such a deep influence on jazz fans, jazz musicians, and the whole world, really. Did we not relax back in those days to the sound of Kinda Blue? Was it not on the turntable at almost everyone's home? Seems like it was. From Kinda Blue, Freddie Freeloader, the great Miles Davis. I've got more of our salute to Miles Davis via the influence of Robert Glasper coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a simple message I've received recently, which reads as follows. Hi, my name is Fifi Williams, listening to you from Ghana. Your selection of jazz music this morning is really thrilling and making my morning very warm and nice. Keep up the good work. Fifi Williams, thank you so very much, and I'm just going to pass along to you the fact that my family and I are contemplating a trip to Accra sometime in the future. I'll keep you posted on when and if that might be happening. And in honor of your wonderful nation, here is a classic piece of jazz history from 1960 by the great alto saxophone giant Jackie McLean. He's joined by the likes of Paul Chambers on bass, who certainly worked with Miles Davis over the years, Kenny Drew on piano, and Blue Mitchell on the trumpet for the song entitled Appointment in Ghana. Jackie McLean, just for you, Fifi Williams, and everybody in Ghana listening to VOA's Jazz America. ¶¶
Thank you. help me climb that road. It's steady but uneven low. Help me climb that road. We're so unbelievably strong, yet so at ease. We ascend as we please, and we'll be standing at those gates. Seven steps create.
As I've said, many a great musician, vocalist, or instrumentalist have paid homage to Miles Davis over the years, as did Cassandra Wilson with her version of Seven Steps to Heaven from her album, Traveling Miles. Her salute to Miles Davis. Now let's turn to another major salute to Miles Davis that occurred just this past year. That was the release of the motion picture, the biopic, Miles Ahead, featuring Don Cheadle, starring as Miles Davis, and music for the soundtrack created by Robert Glasper. Let's get some thoughts from him about making the music for that soundtrack, then hear a piece from it here on VOA's Jazz America. Robert gives us the details on how he put together the music for this, his first soundtrack work ever.
Your very, very first film, yep. I had no idea what I was doing. It's awesome. Half of this score, you know, I was in Europe on tour while doing this. That's kind of what made it hard. So I had to learn how to have a studio on the road so I can send ideas back and forth to Don while on tour. That's what I did. And it was actually hard because Don was also so busy, you know, taping House of Lies. So he'll send me an idea and be like, I kind of want it like this. And then I'll do like 10. He'll be like, no, that's not it. You know, and then the 11th one is like, there it is. You know, so what was hard about it was a lot of the music I did, there was no scene attached to it. I couldn't watch anything. So Don would just explain to me what's in his head. And, you know, and so that's hard to convey, you know what I mean? If you've never seen it, you know, because it hasn't been shot, you know, and then I'll do it. And then it's, you know, after a few times, you know, he'll be like, that's it. That's the beauty of, I mean, having Don as director, because he knows what he wants, because he's also very, very musical. He plays a few instruments, you know. He actually learned how to play the trumpet for this movie. Like, he shed it for 6 years, you know. So when we would talk about music, I could really talk to him like a musician. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he didn't know what he's talking about. So that's what made it great and hard. Because he was very particular, because he knows what he wants. We had to try to do our best to make the audience believe that the people on screen are playing. So rather than us recording something and having those guys try to mimic what we're playing, which is harder, I just told the guys, you guys play whatever you want, and we will put the music over it. It's easier for us to mimic y'all. You know what I mean? So that was the thing, because the stuff we recorded was some hard stuff, you know. It was hard to get to really, like, translate for other cats to do. You know, I have some extremely high-level musicians playing, so it's a lot easier for, you know, us to mimic someone else playing than the other way around, you know what I mean? And it went a lot smoother, and it's more believable, you know, when you watch it. We'll be right back.
the new young lions of modern jazz, Robert Glasper and his associates, paying homage to one of the great giants of all time in jazz, Miles Davis, with music from the motion picture soundtrack of Miles Ahead, a song written by Robert Glasper for the soundtrack, simulating Miles and the rest of his band playing live back in the day. That's a song called What's Wrong With That? Now, let's pay homage to another of the giants of jazz past, who was born on the 31st of October in 1922. Recorded live in 1971 at the famous jazz club Ronnie Scott's in London, here is tenor saxophone giant Illinois Jacquette with his version of Take the A Train on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. legendary Illinois Jacquet recorded live in 1971 in London. More with Robert Glasper, the busiest guy in modern jazz, coming up next hour. Stay tuned.